Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
A story now with huge implications in the war on terror. Just what is on trial down at Guantanamo Bay, where the arraignment of the most important detainees in the war on terror, including alleged 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, took place over the weekend. The trial of these defendants is perhaps a year away, but what happened at the arraignment hearing may signal what these military tribunals are going to be like. And let's get right to it. Joining us now, Colonel Morris Davis, chief prosecutor for the Military Commission at Guantanamo Bay from 2005 to 2007. Colonel Davis is a retired U.S. Air Force colonel, teaches legal writing at Howard University Law School in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And welcome back to the program to Carol Rosenberg, a reporter with the Miami Herald, who just returned from Guantanamo Bay, where she was covering the hearings over the weekend. Carol, welcome back to you.
Hi, John.
So, first of all, what did you see? What surprises were there? What sense of control over the proceedings did you sense or not sense?
You know, last time they brought him in for arraignment, they couldn't stop talking, and they were disruptive in a way that people probably recall, you know, talking about martyrdom, praying out loud, trying to run the show, particularly Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. This time they were trying to run the show by praying silently and not answering the judge. They were mute with one exception the whole time. It went on for 13 hours with recesses for prayer breaks.
Now, using that tactic, can they actually disrupt the proceedings to the point where this hearing is invalid in some sense?
The colonel explained that the validity of the whole system is being tested by this thing, because if they're not going to go along with it and they're not going to consider it credible, they need their participation in order to make this a trial that's going to have some sort of credibility in the eyes of the world, I suspect.
So, Colonel Morris Davis, it sounds like these hearings are vulnerable to these kinds of tactics.
Well, it is. You know, the hearing that took place on Saturday in arraignment should normally last about an hour, and this took over 13 hours. So I think it shows, you know, America's really good at running a judicial process. We're not real good at running a second-rate judicial process, but we're making up the rules on the fly as we go along. So this is, I think, you know, this short little segment we had on Saturday took far longer than it should, and it's kind of indicative of what you can expect moving forward.
Now, Colonel Morris Davis, you're characterizing it as made up as it goes along tribunals. Is that the impression of witnesses, of reporters, of legal observers looking at this hearing and some others?
Well, I think for a lot of people around the world, if you recall, President Bush signed the order to create military commissions in November 2001, and we told the world, trust us, these are fair, it'll do justice. Then the Supreme Court struck that down in 2006, so Congress acted, and we said, okay, this time we've got it right, we're doing justice. Then President Obama came along, and, you know, he was a critic of that. And so in 2009, Congress acted again. And so now we're saying, hey, trust us, this time we've got it right. So it's kind of like the little boy that cried wolf. You know, at some point, I think the world, after a decade of failure, is a bit skeptical that this is a fair process.
Although the impact of being at Guantanamo for as long as he and some of these other defendants have been has got to have an impact as well. Carol Rosenberg, let me just play devil's advocate for a moment. I can't imagine that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, if he was in federal court here in New York, would be inclined to play this any differently, yes?
I think the really puzzling part about this is sort of the mix and match nature of it. It's not a court martial. It's not federal court. Sometimes something happens and they say, well, that's the way it's done in a court martial, or that's the way the military commission wants it done. But they brought in learned counsel with federal court certified federal court death penalty experience, and they've asked them to be the defense attorneys. And what they're doing is they're saying it wouldn't work this way in federal court. We would be allowed to engage with our clients in a far different way. Whether they would have been allowed to wear the uniform, the clothing, the attire that they had brought for them is uncertain. But it's so mix and match, it's hard to figure out how it would play out in federal court. Do we think that these accused would be any more cooperative in a federal court, that they would recognize the authority or integrity of a U.S. district court judge? Unlikely, but we're sitting on the outside looking in, and it doesn't look like something that we, who've covered both courts martial and federal trials can recognize. Like I said, mix and match.
And speaking of mix and match, it's Khalid Sheikh Mohammed who's on trial, also Walid bin Attash, Ramzi bin al-Shib, and Al-Abid al-Aziz Ali, and Mustafa Ahmed al-Hawsawi. Now, as far as you can tell, Colonel Morris Davis, why are these defendants grouped together?
Well, they were all associated with the 9/11 plot. They were all, you know, came out of the CIA black sites, and CIA dumped them off on DOD in September of 2006. You know, I think the interesting part about this is, I mean, in my view, having these military commissions says more about us and what we did to them than it does about them and what they did to us. Because this is a process where, you know, we're embarrassed by the treatment we afforded them back in the 2002-2003 period, what most people would call torture. So if you look at the argument the administration's made, Attorney General Holder and others, they've said, well, you know, this is military necessity. We're at war. This is the enemy. You know, people captured on the battlefield, you can't have some army private reading rights to a terrorist, which is a great argument. And all the audience nods knowingly when people say that. But none of these men were captured by the U.S. military. None were captured on a battlefield. In fact, none were captured in Afghanistan. They were all captured by the authorities of other countries and turned over to the CIA. Mm-hmm. So this notion of military necessity is just a false argument to try to put some veneer on this that makes it look palatable.
Carol, I don't want to get you to speculate, but I'm wondering if what's also driving this is some sort of political imperative on the part of the Obama administration or even just the Pentagon to get this over with, that it can't stay indefinitely in a state of stalemate, which it has been for almost a decade.
Well, for sure. That's the question everybody has, timing, except that what we did learn on Saturday is that the trial itself isn't going to start for a year at a minimum. So, yes, we'll have periodic hearings, and the system will be tested at the pretrial stage in terms of transparency, restrictions, discovery, how much the lawyers can talk to their own clients about what was done to them. This is, they don't even have rules that allow them, they say, to let their client describe what happened to them during those 3-4 years with the CIA. So, yes, things will play out during this campaign season. Yes, the president will be able to say, I got it started. But fundamentally, I think we're exactly where we were 4 years ago when we were heading into the last election cycle.
Colonel Morris Davis, former chief prosecutor for the military commission at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, from 2005 to 2007. And speaking just there, Carol Rosenberg, Miami Herald reporter, who was in Guantanamo covering the arraignment over the weekend. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.